Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
I'd like to have a banana split, and I'd like to have three scoops of ice cream, vanilla and chocolate and strawberry.
Now, Mark Reardon.
He's kind of a dumb guy, you know that.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
In for the Mark Reardon Show, it's Bo Matthews and Carol Daniel. How are you?
I'm frustrated right now, Bo.
Is it Blue Owl related? No deliveries.
Well, no. From now I have two frustrations. I only had one to start,
I
have a second one. I'm trying to go live on Facebook, but my camera won't turn around. You know, you can make your camera into selfie mode.
Right.
If I take a picture, my camera will go selfie mode. But on Facebook, my camera won't go selfie mode. And the two of you have asked, speaking of Dave Klein, Bo, you and Dave both asked me, do I have an iPhone? I need to get an iPhone. Need a new phone.
Is that a jitterbug?
What is a jitterbug? Is that phone for kids?
No, the phone for senior citizens with the big massive
button. Aren't you older than I am?
Oh, probably.
Well, welcome to the show, people.
I would love to have like my old BlackBerry. I love that.
My oldest brother, when they had to pry, and he actually sent these words via text, you're going to have to pry my BlackBerry from my cold, dead hands.
I know.
He's a BlackBerry fan, too.
Simpler times. I heard that they were going to come back, but, who knows? It is amazing what we can do. I mean, you're going to go live on Facebook.
I'm going to try. If I see the cameras on you right now, but I can't get it to turn around.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, sure they do. They want to know what Bo looks like.
No. That's why I got into this business, was the anonymity. But thank you, Facebook, for ruining everything.
Social media makes us all have to have a face.
But isn't it amazing the technology that we're using? Now, you're in studio. I'm in studio today, but all these other shows are done remotely. Is Charlie and Amy, are they
They're both at home.
They're both remote.
They're both remote.
So this room pretty much
Ryan Recker's remote.
And
Mark
Wheeler.
Reardon is remote.
Yeah, Wheeler.
Kevin Wheeler's remote.
Why don't we get to work from home?
You know, I didn't ask the question when the decision was made who would go remote and who wouldn't.
Yeah.
So what I decided, Bo, was that I was what do they call it?
Mission critical.
Well, that is one word. I'm essential.
Essential, yeah.
I'm essential, so that's why I'm here. I am essential, and so that changes the way I walk.
And everybody that does remote work, they should be worried because you're not essential.
You're not essential.
No.
Yeah, but a lot of people are doing remote work to the extent that you can't even trying to find a desk is a hard thing because so many people had to outfit their homes to do the work from home, desks and like I have right now. I mean, I had to buy a laptop I had an older laptop, had to buy a newer laptop because of all the Zoom calls I was going to have to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My equipment at home has changed some, too, to accommodate being able to record at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, but there's even stories about should your employer help you with those costs, those work expenses at home. Now, I will tell you this, that I do have the feeling of working in the office
right
at home because I bought a case of toilet paper and I didn't know
what
I didn't this is when the toilet paper was
a hot
premium
item.
Yeah I was in a Deerbrooks and they were just selling these cases, cardboard box cases of toilet paper. I didn't read the labels, I didn't do anything, I just took it home. I get it home, guess what? One ply. I have not had
you
one.
You bought one ply. You should see my face. Ooh, you bought one ply.
Well, and my wife, she's complaining about it. I said, you don't have to use it. You use the good stuff. I'll use the one ply. Because there's folders, there's crunchers, and there's beehivers. And I'm a beehiver. So
are you a beehiver? I thought most men were.
With one ply? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, with one ply you'd have to. Now, you have to explain those. The folder is just the person who takes the one piece and, and just folds it over.
A couple pieces usually,
couple
right?
Couple pieces. Yeah. This is way too much information.
Nobody should talk about bathrooms on the radio. The scrunch, where you just,
ball it up, kind of wad it up, yeah.
There's that. But the beehiving is wrapping your entire hand like a mummy.
Yeah, mummified. I'm a mummified. My husband said to me, he said recently that he didn't know where we were. But he was in a bathroom near the women's bathroom, and he could hear me. Not hear me going, but he could hear me. Like when you take the toilet paper and you, pull it. And sometimes if it's a loud roll,
right. You
can hear the... And he thought, what in the world is she doing over there? He knows that I use too much toilet. I'm a beehiver.
She is wasting all this
I'm
precious
a mummifier, yes.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
Yes, apparently so. But it's true. These are real issues that we're facing, people.
So in the real world, though, should employers pay for at-home work expenses, even including electricity, your tea, your toilet paper, as we mentioned? I don't know how you're going to get that out of them. I don't know how you could turn that around, because I look at it and I go, okay, well, I'm not spending a lot of money on gas to drive in every single day,
mm-hmm.
So I could use that money that I'm saving for the other things. But I mean, you look at the cafeteria, the kitchen area here, the break room area.
Right.
I mean, it looks like a cafe. It's beautiful.
It's very nice. It is very nice.
All the coffee machines, the water machines, all that. So we are spoiled in this building.
We have two full size refrigerators.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine having that in your house? That whole cafe line.
I have
there.
A nice kitchen.
Well, I'm sure you do. I'm just saying that all that stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have a vending machine with snacks, do you? In your home?
I should have that. I should have that.
Oh,
but
sure
no, I do not.
KMOX will take care of that. No problem.
But a lot of people are frustrated by this because of the expense they've had to outlay to get their homes turned into an office. Even if it's just... a file cabinet that you didn't have before.
Right.
You had to bring all that stuff home, all those files home, all that information home. Again, the desk, if you had to have a riser, some people are parked at the kitchen table.
Right.
And so they've turned part of their home into an office with file cabinets and files and markers and pens and a dry erase board and...
And hats off to all American workers working remotely, because it happened so quickly at the beginning of this pandemic, because we had to keep the wheels turning, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people were able to bob and weave, but what a lot of people didn't really pay attention to was your background. What's behind you on the Zoom call? What artwork do you have? Is there a dog running around barking? Those things are real struggles. So if you don't have an extra room dedicated for your office, well, then you're at the kitchen table, like you were saying.
Right, right. And do you look? Are you one of those people when you're on a Zoom call with people? You're looking at
the only time I'm doing that.
Voyeurism is at an all-time high.
I believe that on Instagram, I enjoy seeing the big name musicians. The Toby Keiths, the Brad Paisleys, or even Engelbert Humperdinck is doing. Tuesday Museday is what he calls it, and it's so cool because he's normally in front of thousands of people.
And they have home studio, so you're getting to see their home studio.
You see their home studio, or there's another artist, Billy Dean. He actually does it on his patio, so you get to see the outlay, the land behind him. I think it's kind of intriguing to see how the other half lives.
Personally. Well, especially when the other half is living better than you.
Of course.
That's intriguing.
That's what I'm looking at.
But there have been stories, too, about teachers who are now seeing students how each other lives.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a level of concern because there's a level of embarrassment that comes with you now seeing inside my house, schoolhouse, rock days, one room schoolhouse days, I should say.
Right.
Everybody came, everybody lived pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have very different styles of living, and we get to see how each other actually lives. I mean, there's no way I'd let you see how I do have a separate office.
Okay.
And most people don't have that, but I have a separate office, but I'm not going to pan that camera around and let you see the pack rat that I am.
Well, unless you can't get your camera to turn around.
I can't get my camera to turn around. I should be live on Facebook, but I dropped my phone, and it's got cracks that look like you know,
spider webs.
Beautiful. So maybe that's why my camera isn't working. I need my son, who's an IT software guy, to tell me what to do. We have an IT guy here. Can I get him? Can I find him?
Do we have, in your office at home, do you have like any Marconi awards in the backdrop, like, you know, as on your back wall?
I have my favorite award, and it wasn't really an award, it was a thank you.
Yeah.
It is a crystal microphone.
Wow.
It's glass, and it's the microphone is at an angle on a platform, and it was from the Women of Achievement.
Beautiful.
You know, a thank you. For emceeing, I think I've emceed for 20 years, their annual luncheon, and someone gave me this crystal microphone, and it is just my favorite award. I have another one that people are holding up the world, and it's, you know, it's sort of, I'm trying to describe this, bronze figurines leaning, and they're leaning in a circular fashion, and they're all holding up this. It's beautiful.
So if I see you doing a newscast on Zoom or something, will I see those items? Are they in the backdrop or not?
Well, probably not, because I have the camera pointed in such a way that I have a high chair.
Okay.
IT guy. Was he listening?
Wow.
So my chair is blocking what's behind me. So our IT guy, did I sound disrespectful? Not really? Okay.
Mr. It.
Mr. It is here to tell me why my camera won't turn around and I can't go live on Facebook. So Ryan Schulte, who is... Everybody loves Ryan because Ryan fixes things, and he has such a wonderful. And do I sound like I'm buttering him up?
Absolutely, you have to do that.
I have absolutely said these things to him, that everybody loves him. I wanted to know his favorite candy. He has such a great demeanor.
He's so humble.
He's a very humble person.
Yeah, he is. And really, those guys, those guys and gals in the IT world, they get all the gadgets and toys first. So I look at them like Santa Claus. Like, ooh,
oh, yeah.
What do you have for me now for the studio?
I had an engineer once who, about 20 years ago, who, when I would call for something, he would say to me, what did you break now?
Oh, no.
And so when Ryan came along and Ryan's like, what do you need?
Oh, yeah.
It was such a wonderful feeling.
Well, to the original question, if you do have a company that is helping you pay for office equipment, desks, paying for your internet or helping you with that.
Aren't you lucky?
It's all necessary. We would love to hear from you. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. This is the voice of St. Louis KMOX. Are we going to bring him in? Are we going to do this live on the air?
He walked around. Where'd he go?
He disappeared.
We'll bring him in.
Stealthy.
He's going to tell me I need to trade this phone in because it's broken.
And
that's what he's going to say.
What kind of phone is that? Do we know?
It's a Samsung. I don't know what it is. What is it?
Is that the Galaxy?
It's a Galaxy.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's a Galaxy, whatever the latest Galaxy is. Galaxy 8? I don't know. I don't know what I have, Bo.
You can call your husband with it. That's all that counts.
Yeah.
That's all that's necessary. Okay. It's Bo Matthews and Carol Daniel, and this is the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews with you on this, well, fall afternoon for sure. The temperature yesterday was like 87 degrees, and that is not the case today. So are you at home working, and did you have to buy a desk and some file cabinets, and did your boss help you pay for that? We want to hear from you as we also bring in another topic that is solely about this pandemic, and that is the gardening and the baking that you're doing. So give us a call at 1-800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. Is your boss helping you to pay for the at-home work expenses, including your Wi-Fi? And if you are gardening, and so many of you, because I see you on social media, you are absolutely planting and harvesting now, because that's what time it is to harvest many of the things you planted. Are you doing that? And we are. And it's not, I should say we, I shouldn't lie, I shouldn't say we, I should say my husband.
He's doing the work, huh?
Well, he's a landscaper, as a lot of people know, and he planted all kinds of things and has for many, many years.
And is it coming through? Is it coming through for you?
For the first year, he planted two apple trees. One we think is a Washington apple tree, the other is a Granny Smith. We think. We don't know. And many years, the raccoons, we were feeding the wildlife because they were just having a blast eating the strawberries and blackberries and everything else we had, including the apples. So this season was the first time we actually were able to harvest apples. We got like 30 pounds.
What?
30 pounds of apples. So I made, for the very first time in my life, an apple pie.
You or we?
I cut apples. I created the thing with all the cinnamon and the nutmeg and the baking powder, whatever it's called. I'm not a baker. So this was, my husband was probably like, what is she doing over there?
Did you like literally follow a recipe?
I literally followed a recipe. But the funny part is I found a recipe, Bo, for apple pie filling.
Okay.
So the idea being that all these apples you get, you would make the filling, then put it in the refrigerator and or freezer and then use it as you needed.
Right, right. So have you made a pie yet?
I have, but that recipe ended with cool it down, put it in the refrigerator.
Oops.
It did not include fill the pie shell, bake time, temperature time. So I had to find another recipe. So here's what happened. Put the filling in a pie shell, ready-made pie shell from Pillsbury.
Okay.
Right? My husband comes in and says, when are you going to put the top on? So I had put an open face, just the pie filling.
open face pie, you know.
So then I said, oh yeah, I was going to do that, which was a lie because I totally forgot about it. Luckily, I had two other pie shells, took them out, cut them up, put little strips on them, made a little star design.
Oh, so you like wove it in?
I wove it in.
Nice.
Yeah. So I, at the last minute, it had been in the oven for like 30 minutes.
Had it not hit you?
It had not hit me until he came in. I didn't know.
And your husband's name is?
Patrick.
Patrick. Good job, Patrick.
Yeah. So you, and we have basil and thyme and dill, and we have a lot of herbs.
You guys are successful in gardening.
He's totally successful.
At the beginning of the pandemic, and so many people got into it because they had time on their hands, that kind of thing. It seemed like everybody was ready to go off the grid.
Yeah, they didn't want to go to the grocery store. So well, you, that was one reason you wanted to do it.
That was part of it. Now, I'm a carnivore, but my wife is a vegetarian. And so you would think a vegetarian would want to plant a nice garden. We have the room for it, but we didn't do it because she knows she's tried to, you know, grow herbs and spices and mm-hmm. things like that. And it just doesn't work. But I guess a couple of years ago, she threw the guts of a butternut squash out into the front yard.
Really?
And last year we had yielded probably 30 butternut squashes. I just showed you the picture of our record. And this butternut squash is nearly 7 pounds. Just the one squash is 7 pounds. And as a vegetarian, she likes to make soups and freeze it.
I love butternut squash soup.
But that's our only yield. That's the only thing. I mean, she would probably want to survive on just butternut squash if she had to.
But no.
But then she made, she grew some miniature grape, what do they call them?
Cherry tomatoes?
No.
No?
Miniature, what's the emoji, the sexual emoji?
A sexual emoji.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever hear that
eggplant.
On KMOX. Okay.
No, sorry. Well, yeah, we are on the radio, aren't we?
Well, no, that's okay. It was very descriptive.
But
that's
Well, Dave knew. It's all Dave's
Dave
fault.
It's not much of a secret. He's right about it.
I've never. Why does one then use that emoji? To imply...
Okay, let's move along.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's move on.
They have the miniature eggplants.
Ooh, shiny. I was distracted. Go ahead.
Yeah, they had the miniature eggplants that grew on this plant. And I was like, well, aren't they supposed to be gigantic? And she said, well, these grew like this. So we looked it up, and there is a miniature version, I guess. So
did you cook them?
She was eating them raw in her salad. She eats a lot of salad. And a lot. I mean, every night.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it is. But
you know, salad grows fast, so she should try that in a container.
So then we bought, and are you planning to grow in the house? Because they have these LED grow lights we bought.
Well, that is an interesting question. I asked my 20-year-old son, who loves a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he loves shoes and clothes and food. And I mean, he just loves a lot of stuff. And I said, what do you want for Christmas? Normally, I get a page and a half list.
Right.
This year, he said, I want an indoor plant grow light.
Whoa.
Because both of our boys have taken their father's gene. Now, my dad grew peanuts, potatoes, strawberries, had the beautiful, most beautiful roses.
Around here?
In Fort Leonard Wood.
Oh, wow.
So my dad was a grower. So my kids get it from both sides of the family. So that's what he wanted for Christmas, was grow light.
Well, that's easy.
That's easy. Prime. Amazon Prime. I was on it.
Our house plants are really thriving by the LED grow lights, so we really do swear by them. But we haven't tried, like you said, the leafy, like collard greens, I think you mentioned earlier.
My husband grew collard greens one
lettuce,
year.
Lettuce? But that all grows
Lettuce grows so fast.
Really? Like
yes.
30 days?
Man, I feel like it might be that amount of time.
It's got to be good for the air, too, the air in the house.
And if she's growing plants indoor with a grow light, she can grow. She should try her herbs indoor.
I would think. Yeah, well, she always starts in the spring or in the late winter. She'll start planting seedlings and stuff.
There's some fall things that she could plant now.
Oh, I think that would be fantastic. And we've got the room. We've got the grow lights already.
What are you getting? Now, she already cut up that 7 foot? Or
no,
7 pound,
just,
7 foot. I'm stuck on the sexual emoji.
Seven. It was a butternut squash, which.
Seven pounds.
I don't know why the emoji wasn't selected as the butternut squash.
Yeah, because when you see this picture of the squash, did you post it on social?
No. I don't want to get flagged.
You don't want to be macaroni and cheese
Facebook
flagged.
But this whole butternut squash garden is just an accident, and we've yielded about 40 of them this year.
Did you bring any? Today?
No, just the picture.
You?
I can bring you one, though. Do you like butternut squash?
I love butternut squash soup.
Okay, you have your choice. Blue Owl delivery or butternut squash.
Oh, my God. It's cookies for sure.
Sorry. butternut squash cookies. Okay. That's Carol Daniel. I'm Bo Matthews, and this is the voice of St. Louis KMOX. Coming up, we're going to be talking with the Major K Squad and what they do and why they do what they do. That's next on the voice of St. Louis KMOX. It is the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Bo Matthews, and that is Carol Daniel. And thank you for joining us on this segment of the program. I wanted to talk with the Major K Squad of St. Louis, because just recently I've been learning more and more about really what they do, and their success rate on closing out cases is phenomenal. And I'll let them explain that. So we want to welcome to KMOX the PIO for the Major K Squad of Greater St. Louis, Steve Lewis. I call him Chief because he's the chief of, I don't know, some little township out west. And we've got Major Randy Bowden from the Major K Squad of Greater St. Louis. Welcome to KMOX, gentlemen. How are you?
Thank you for having us, Bo and Carol. We really appreciate being on.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to get the good word out there. And I do want to say that I was given something to deliver to Carol today, and I brought it in. I brought a challenge coin from the Major K Squad, mm-hmm. which you said you have others. You have military ones, huh?
I have one from Fort Leonard Wood. I have one from Scott Air Force Base. So there is a reason for the challenge coins. You hand it to me, put it in my hand, and the challenge has been given and received.
Yes, absolutely. And you got that. And I also got a shirt. Of course, I'm not an investigator like these guys, so I didn't know what size shirt to get. So it was a guess. If it's too big or too small, I'll just hope that you can pass along.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Major.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
The main thing that the Major K Squad does is you guys go out in a huge team when there is a homicide that happens in the area on both sides of the river. Explain how vast and how large this organization is.
Well, I guess this is Chief Lewis. I'll jump in on that. Our organization is 55 plus years old, and it's an organization that was founded to assist those agencies that are unable to field the resources necessary to investigate homicides. We have over 500 homicide investigators, trained investigators across 14 counties in Missouri and Illinois as part of the Greater St. Louis Major K Squad. And those investigators respond. Randy is the chief here on the Missouri side. And as the commander, he will send out a team of 25 investigators upon request from any municipality in the Missouri side of the river that will respond and immediately start investigating homicide or suspicious death at the request of the municipality.
And Major Bowden, when people hear, when we report, for instance, that the Major K Squad has been activated, that has happened, as Chief Lewis just said, because a municipality has asked you to come in. But I think that there might be an assumption that the case is, you know, is particularly egregious, maybe, or it's important in a certain way when people hear that the Major K Squad is involved.
Yes, and that is in part due to our success rate, and the squad normally only takes cases where there is no suspect. So the cases that we work primarily, there's no suspect. If there was a suspect identified, right up front during the initial investigation, normally the squad will not handle that. So when we do get activated, the cases that we handle are, as you say, pretty egregious.
And all of the departments that are involved, if I could talk to you, Chief Lewis, all the departments that are involved, they send a certain amount of people out to investigate something. You guys knock on doors, you try and track down leads, that kind of thing. This is in addition. These police officers are doing this in addition to their regular job in their home department, correct?
That is correct, sir. The member agencies for the major case squad will send between one and three trained investigators at the quest of the major case squad call out. And those investigators, their normal duties are typically their local agency investigations. However, they're specially trained annually. We hold a conference where we train our investigators to a higher level, and then they respond during that 1 week period that is the most important during homicide investigations to try and identify and gather as many facts and as much information as possible. It's not unusual for them to literally work the first 24 hours of that homicide investigation because we know those are the most important.
And Major Bowden, the AG was here today. Bill Barr held a roundtable with the Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorney here, Jensen, and with St. Louis Police Department, as I know you know. He was talking about Operation Legend. Talk about the role, excuse me, between Major Case and Operation Legend, DOJ, and the city of St. Louis.
We work closely with all those agencies in our investigations. We do have members of the St. Louis City Police Department that are members of the Major Case Squad, so they are activated also with us. And we work closely also with our federal partners, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and all the different federal agencies. They always assist us in helping, you know, bring these crimes to a conclusion. So we work very closely with them, and we rely on them, as well as the local prosecutors in those jurisdictions.
Now, there's a TV program, and you know, a lot of people really enjoy watching the different police dramas that are out there, but there is one called 48 Hours. It's a documentary-style program, and Chief Lewis, you've actually shared with me that that first 48 hours is, I mean, 24 hours is so critical, but it really is that 48 hours that is so critical in any case that you guys go after, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and in fact, the concept of the Major Case Squad is in fact following that guideline, right? We are flooding an area, flooding the location of the homicide in the immediate area and wherever those clues take us for those first 48 hours to identify and apprehend suspects. And most importantly, and this is, you know, it's a tragic case. We're always out on tragedies. And the key factor that we try to do is we bring justice and we bring solace to the family, because oftentimes that is the only thing that they can really hope for, is that we're able to do our jobs so that we can bring those people to justice. And it typically takes that short time frame, 48 hours, 72 hours, to flood the area with our investigators. And again, we have an 80% clearance rate. We're pretty proud of that over our time period. So they're out there doing literally the yeoman's job of getting these investigations cleared.
We have reported and followed the story, St. Louis Board of Aldermen, they are upping the amount of money that they would give to solve some of the homicides in the city. If you only take cases where there's no suspect, is that why you don't take any cases in the city? And then talk to Major Bowden about what it takes to clear a case, because I think people, we're looking at places like the city of St. Louis and other urban areas where there is a where there are too many homicides, and you hear that conversation often. People see something, they've seen something, they won't work with police, they won't say what they saw. I've given you a lot to munch on there. Go for it.
Yes. Firstly, the we rely on the public and the assistance of the public. It is paramount that we get cooperation from witnesses, people that would have seen anything, and Crime Stoppers plays a vital role in that. That gives people an avenue to call in, to give us tips, which we follow up on right away. And again, with having that many investigators, we can handle a lot of tips and contact a lot of people. So it's vital that the public gets involved in these cases and cooperates and contacts the police with any information they may have. St. Louis City has a very well-run, very well-respected homicide unit that they handled their investigations in St. Louis City. If there's an investigation the Major Case Squad is working on that would lead us into St. Louis City, we usually coordinate with their homicide unit, and we will work closely with them. Same way with St. Louis County, they have a very good homicide unit, and they will handle those investigations themselves.
But let's be, I don't know, I want to be as transparent as possible that I, when I hear that, you know, you need the public, you know, you can't do this without the public. I think sometimes it's like we're dissing the public maybe when we say that they see something, but they're not saying anything, that it comes across in a way that, you know, maybe there's some, and not from you, of course, but and maybe from some law enforcement, that there's a lack of trust. We've talked about that a great deal. Talk to me about that role, that issue that exists between the public that may have seen something but doesn't want to talk to law enforcement.
Well, and that's where Crime Stoppers gives us an avenue, because you can call in anonymously to them, and that will be forwarded to us. And, yes, we are always looking for ways to foster a trust and a better relationship with the public, especially in these cases. And when we go into these areas, when we are activated to investigate a crime in those areas, we immediately assign a detective as a liaison with the family. And then we will work our way out into the community, and we try to build the trust the best way we can every time, because it is vital that we get assistance on these.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Before we cut you loose, guys, and get you back to work, for both of you, is there any one case that you guys have solved that you thought, man, I didn't think we'd ever solve this one? Lewis, you're first.
You know what? I'll kick that over to Randy. He's our chief commander on the Missouri side. One thing, if I may say, though, and it's an important note, we like the public to know, and we so appreciate you having us on, that we are truly there regardless of feelings about law enforcement and you know, the perception that we keep running up against. The Major Case Squad of Greater St. Louis is there to bring justice for the families of homicide victims. There is no greater truth and no greater movement by law enforcement than to help find justice for those people that are murdered, whose lives are taken. And so that's really the key with the public support. You know, we need the public support for that. That's why we're out here talking about it to this day.
And
so
that's
I'll kick it to Randy on his case.
Very well said, Chief. Appreciate that. Major?
Originally, the Major Case Squad was activated on the Angie Houseman case, which we're all aware of, and it was very fulfilling to see that case was solved. It was, again, turned back over to the local agencies, but those members that worked on it, bringing it to a resolution, were also on the Major Case Squad, past members and current members. And that case there went on for a long time, but it was finally solved.
Thank you both. Justice for the families. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having us on.
That is Major Randy Bowden, Deputy Commander with the Major Case Squad, and Chief Steve Lewis, the Public Information Liaison for the Major Case Squad. Coming up next, we're going to take a left turn here, because some movie theaters are open, but are you comfortable even doing that again? We miss it all so much, but when will you go back?
That's a good question.
We'll talk about that next. It is The Mark Reardon Show. Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews with you on KMOX.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
Another thing the pandemic has robbed from us, Rona, as somebody has called her, coronavirus,
yeah,
is going to the movies, which I miss. I miss the popcorn. I miss it all. But I don't know if I'm ready to go back.
How often do you go in a year's time?
Maybe 6-8 times, if that. I mean, we watch a lot of movies at home, you know, but we used to go all the time. Every Disney movie that came out, every kids movie when the kids were little,
right,
I was in the movie theater every other week probably.
About every other month we would probably go and, you know, find a movie that we would want to see, and only if we really wanted to see it, because it does cost money to go. And sadly, the headline I see on TheVerge.com is AMC Theaters warns that it could run out of cash by the end of 2020. I'm
thinking, my goodness,
how much did you charge for that popcorn and that soda pop? Yeah.
Well, and I've never understood, for instance, No Time to Die is the James Bond movie that was supposed to come out, and then they pushed it back, and they pushed it back again, and they pushed it back to next year. But I've not understood the relationship between how much the theater pays for the movie. All the money on the concessions is what that local theater makes. I think that's how that works. Okay. And so they don't make as much on the ticket price. The studio takes most of the ticket price.
Right.
They make all their money on the concessions. That still doesn't explain $10 popcorn.
Same thing with Busch Stadium. I mean, the players, there's so little upcharge on the, profit margin for like a gas station. If they're only selling gas at a gas station,
they're not making any money. They want you to come inside
and
get those hot dogs rolling on that thing.
But I do miss the theater experience. I really do.
I do.
One movie we did want to watch, and I forget what it was, but we wanted to watch it, and you could download it or, watch it on demand. It was like $20, and I'm thinking to myself, well, we're not going anywhere. We haven't been anywhere, so I don't mind paying $20 for a movie. And have you done that yet? Have you downloaded a current movie?
I did watch Tracy Ellis Ross, The High Note.
Oh, was it good?
I did. I loved it. And I watched that by myself on my laptop.
$20 or whatever it was.
Yeah. I did get a link. I got it for free, but I would have paid the $20. I would have paid the $20.
You're special.
I am a little special in the head.
and your concessions were a lot cheaper, too.
A lot cheaper. In the microwave, that popcorn was $1.
It's Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews. Movies are changing, and so are Thanksgiving and Christmas plans changing. How are they changing for you? We'll talk to you about that coming up after the news on KMOX.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.